For most of his year, New York City arranger, composer, bandleader, guitarist, and singer Glenn Kreitzer worked on new Christmas music for the album Underneath the Mistletoe, released just in time for the holidays. But the music on the album doesn't sound like it was written in 2019, but instead 1940 and earlier. From the album, that's Kreitzer's arrangement of the traditional Christmas song, I Saw Three Ships Come Sailing In. I'm Carl Gerke, and this is Jazz Nightly on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. On the album Underneath the Mistletoe, Kreitzer and his orchestra reimagine the classic sounds of the swing era, but with all new arrangements and songs, arrangements of a few classic Christmas tunes, as well as original tunes written by Kreitzer. I spoke with Glenn Kreitzer earlier this week, and he told me that his band makes new old music and keeps alive the style of playing and composing from the swing era.
We try to think of ourselves as like a new band from 1940. So we're not a copy of Artie Shaw or of Benny Goodman or of Glenn Miller specifically. We're influenced by all those groups, but we kind of have the idea that we're our own group from that time period.
When did you first get interested in this music from this period in American history?
When I was in college, this was about 20 years ago, I took up swing dancing as a hobby, and that was, you know, it was really big then. But, you know, a lot of the music, most of the music was kind of swing mixed with punk rock and ska and rockabilly and a lot of other stuff. And, you know, as I got deeper into the music, it just, you know, there were really then and even, you know, certainly now, there's just not a lot of people that really do music from this period. There were, you know, groups doing Dixieland, there were groups doing more modern jazz, but really authentically doing swing from this period. It's kind of a rare thing, and I just got interested in it, you know, through the dancing and said, well, nobody's doing this. Maybe I'll do it, you know, and here we are.
How difficult is it to write music in this style? Because you have to deal with certain conventions, maybe not some of the more advanced harmonies that came later. Is it difficult to be authentic and write in this style as if it was 1940?
It's just the thing that I do, you know? I mean, for me, it just kind of comes very naturally because it's what I'm so into. It's the music that I listen to all the time, you know? And anytime you spend a lot of time working with a certain vocabulary of a particular style of music, you know, it gets inside you. It gets inside the way you play. It gets inside the way you're thinking about music. And so for me, it feels pretty natural to write in this style. It's not, it doesn't feel forced or strained or something like I'm manufacturing something artificially. It's just sort of my voice coming out through the set of characteristics of music that I really love.
It's one thing to be able to write this music in that style. How difficult is it to find musicians then who can interpret this music and interpret it authentically?
You know, it's a very special select group of players that are into this, you know, out of the whole of the jazz world. Being in New York, I'm very lucky to have just really outstanding musicians who are not only into the style, but are just, you know, killer readers and really outstanding musicians. I mean, you know, one of the blessings of being in New York is that, like, a lot of the best people from everywhere else move here, and so we have just this really incredible talent pool here.
And along with the musical style, also getting the vocal style, you sing a little bit, and I guess you'd call it sort of the crooning style of the more sweet bands?
Yeah, I do do some of the ballads and things like that for us. And then we have a couple of other singers that kind of take on different roles, Dandy and Hannah, that both kind of have their niches and their sound. And so, yeah, it's nice. You know, we have a lot of different vocal colors to mix things up, I think, on the record.
Yeah, you kind of capture the different vocalists. You know, you mentioned Dandy Wellington, who I think is more the rhythm singer, and then Hannah Gill, who I think does a great job of capturing the approach of someone like, say, Helen Ward, who sang with Benny Goodman in the mid-30s.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, she's very young, and it was exciting to kind of, you know, I'm not discover her, but when I found out about her, you know, it was exciting because I thought, you know, boy, there's somebody with a voice where, you know, if they have, you know, a good work ethic. I mean, she was 19 when I met her. You know, I said, boy, if this girl has a good work ethic, she's going to be, you know, fabulous. And she does. And she's wonderful to work with and just, you know, is really on top of her stuff and has just a really fantastic voice where it feels like it's an old voice, you know, from the era, but it's not somebody else's. It doesn't sound like an impersonation of anyone either. So it's really unique in that way.
I'm just sitting here and waiting underneath the mistletoe, just anticipating. I ain't got no place to go. I don't want to miss the chance to taste a kiss from your sweet lips, and so I'll simply wait. Other boys who come a flirting, acting like they're Romeo, end up leaving hurting. I won't even say hello, but if you'd come courting, soon we'd be cavorting. Wish you'd hurry up, it's getting late. I suppose I could.
This is Jazz Nightly on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. My guest is Glenn Kreitzer, a band leader, a vocalist, a guitarist, a songwriter, arranger, and composer. He and the Glenn Kreitzer Orchestra have a new album out called Underneath the Mistletoe. Features new songs and new arrangements for the holidays, all written in the classic styles of the big band era, from sweet to swing. And Glenn, when did you get the idea that you wanted to do a Christmas record?
I did a shorter Christmas record a few years back. We did an EP, and it was with one of my small groups. And I've just always loved Christmas music. And, you know, one of the things I think about it is that we do kind of hear the same songs every year. And, you know, for us who play this music from the 40s, you know, I mean, that's a time of year where everybody listens to music from the 40s, even if it's not what they listen to the rest of the year. When Christmas time comes around, you know, this era of music is a big part of people's traditions. And so, you know, the idea was to create something that could, you know, give people some more options for things to listen to at the holidays and something to add to their traditions every year. And to hopefully, you know, help reach more people with the idea that, hey, there's still people that play this music and that are into it and that do it, you know, all year round.
I'm sorry, Santa Claus. I hope you'll forgive me because last year I did you wrong, but I've been good all this year long. It was late last Christmas Eve. I was so tired I fell asleep till I heard your awful shout, 'cause I forgot to put the fire in the fireplace out.
When did you start writing the songs for this?
In April. So I've basically been doing Christmas all year this year. It's been a year-long Christmas for me.
But it sounds like you had a lot of fun. These are fun songs. You must have enjoyed putting them together.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun. And, you know, especially when you see something like this come together where you kind of sit down and go, okay, let's write an album. And then it just kind of, it happens, and then you do all the arrangements, and you get so much wonderful support from people. We had on Kickstarter is how we funded the record, and to see, you know, all the outpouring of support from people was really, you know, heartwarming. And you know, just then putting it together with the guys and watching, you know, them all take this music, especially the new stuff, but, you know, even the new arrangements and having them bring their talents to it, it's really it's a lot of fun to see something like this just come together from an idea to the point where you've got a CD there in your hand, you know.
In a addition to being authentic with the music on the album Underneath the Mistletoe, you also get the authentic sound as well. Are we recording with the vintage equipment to get an authentic sound on the recording?
Some. It's a mix. I think the idea is to get a sound that sounds authentic to period because, you know, the musicians at that time, if you think about different styles of music, classical music, when it came around to recording classical music, that tradition of what that music was largely set, other than, you know, obviously 20th century contemporary music is a different story. But, you know, Beethoven was Beethoven at that point, and it was just a question of how do we record this so it sounds as much like Beethoven in the concert hall as possible. But with jazz, it's very unique because it grew up alongside of the technology, alongside of microphone technology and, you know, when the electric guitar came in 1937. So I think it's a question of, when it comes to technology, you know, I'm not opposed to using modern technology that exists. You know, we still record digitally and everything like that. But there are certain things that you have to say, okay, well, yeah, they might have used this if they had this, but would they have made different music if they would have, you know, been working this way? And so I think it's a question of figuring out what old stuff to use and what new stuff you can use to make recording more convenient or easier, but that won't change the aesthetic. Basically, our aesthetic goal is to make something that sounds like an old record with the same blend and balance, but without the loss of the highs and the lows, without the loss of the record noise getting in the way, I think it's a continual process because it is a bit of a lost art, but we learn a little bit more every time we do it about how to even get a little better at it and all these little fine details from album to album, little things I like to tweak, and it's cool. I mean, it's another lost art that we're sort of trying to revive. So.
Christmas album Underneath the Mistletoe is done. It's out there. It's released. We're playing it on the radio. Do you have other projects now that you're working on for the future, or are you just things still in the idea stage?
Well, right now I'm just trying to recover from doing this one because it was quite a lot of work. Just, you know, the thing about doing a regular record is if some things go wrong or things are running late or whatever, you say, oh, we'll put off the release 2 more months. But it turns out they will not move Christmas for you. So Christmas is Christmas. It's got to come out on time. And it was pretty exhausting. So I'm taking, a little bit of a month here to just recover and catch my breath. And then we'll see what 2020 holds.
That was New York City arranger, composer, bandleader, guitarist, and singer Glenn Kreitzer discussing his new Christmas album, Underneath the Mistletoe, featuring new arrangements and songs written and played in the style of the swing era. I'm Carl Gerke, and this is Jazz Nightly on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.